There's been a lot of attention over the last few years to the risks of repeated head injuries for athletes in contact sports. One big worry is chronic traumatic encephalopathy, called CTE for short. It's a potentially fatal degenerative brain disease found in people who experience repeated head trauma. As research on the disease has developed, it's become a major concern for professional-level contact sport athletes, including former Badger linebacker and briefly NFL player Chris Borland. Here he is in a PSA for the Union of Concerned Scientists.
My name is Chris Borland. I walked away from pro football and a $2.9 million contract with the San Francisco 49ers because I didn't want to develop CTE, or chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which is caused by repeated brain injury. Researchers at Boston University studied the brains of 111 deceased NFL players. They found CTE in 110. CTE is a brain disease that causes depression, aggression, dementia, and in some cases, suicide. Yet for many years, the NFL denied the link.
A more recent study from Boston University published last fall found that even athletes at the youth level could be at risk of CTE. Our next guest is a Wisconsin expert on brain injuries in youth sports. She joins us now to weigh the risks of head injury with the benefits of youth sport participation. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have kids who play contact sports like football? How early did they start? Have you taken any extra precautions to prevent head injuries and brain damage? Have you pulled your kids out of contact sports over those concerns? Did you grow up playing one of these sports? Do you look back and worry about what could have been? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Julie Stamm is a clinical assistant professor in the Department of Kinesiology at UW-Madison. She's the author of the book, The Brain on Youth Sports, The Science, The Myths, and The Future. Julie, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, thank you for having me.
First of all, Julie, can you give us a brief reminder of what CTE is, its causes, and what it does to people?
Yeah, CTE is a neurodegenerative disease, kind of similar to Alzheimer's disease or other neurodegenerative diseases you might have heard of. This disease in particular affects people who have been exposed to repetitive brain trauma. This is not just concussions. Concussions can be part of that trauma, but it's been diagnosed in people who have not had a history of concussions, at least diagnosed concussions. So it's just that repetitive brain trauma happening over and over and over again for years that we know is a risk factor for this disease. And it is affecting many parts of the brain, and as a result can have many symptoms, including, as you heard in the clip, aggression, impulsivity, difficulty controlling behaviors, memory difficulties and depression, mood difficulties as well. So it's a variety of different symptoms associated with it.
One difficulty in understanding the scope of the disease is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Julie, the only diagnosis is in an autopsy, unfortunately. We don't really have a system for diagnosing this in somebody who's still alive.
That's correct. Right now, we can only diagnose the disease after someone has passed away. And that's a huge limitation, not only for the patients, but also for research and furthering our understanding of the disease. Right now, we can't see it during life, in part because it doesn't look much different on a traditional MRI than Alzheimer's disease, for example. It looks very similar. There's a lot of research going into that, but we really need to figure out how to diagnose it during life.
One thing that makes complicated is to know how widespread it is. We hear the statistics from the Boston University studies, X percent of brains of these deceased athletes. You pointed out elsewhere, this is a skewed sample in some ways. We shouldn't necessarily panic and say, 40% or 100% or whatever of athletes will have CTE. Do I have that right?
Yes, absolutely. And that's a really important point. The studies that they're doing are trying to describe what the disease looks like in people who have it. And as part of that research, you report the number of people that you looked at that have the disease and those who don't. But it's a very biased sample. People don't tend to think to donate their brains to a brain bank like that unless they think that something's wrong. So you're more likely to find the disease in a brain bank sample like that. So the 110 out of 111 NFL players, for example, That does not mean that 99% of NFL players have the disease. It's just what they found in their sample. we really don't know how prevalent it is at this time because we can't diagnose it during life.
Now, another concern here is, you know, well, okay, NFL players, maybe they've played since they were 10 or younger, through high school, through college, through an NFL career. Boston University researchers have also looked now at some younger athletes, again, people who had symptoms that might have pointed towards CTE, and found that, yes, in fact, younger people can show this this abnormal brain development from CTE.
Yes, and this is such an important point because I think for a long time, CTE was thought to be a disease of professional athletes. You had to play for 20 years or 10 years in the NFL to get the disease. And we know that's not the case. The recent study looked only at individuals under age 30, and the vast majority of them, 70% or more, were amateur athletes. And many of those only played through high school. So this is telling us that for some people, they may be at risk, even if they don't go on to play years in the NFL or even go on to play college.
Talking to Julie Stamm from the Department of Kinesiology at UW-Madison, author of the book, The Brain on Youth Sports, The Science, The Myths, and the Future. We're looking at repetitive brain injury for athletes, the impact it can have over time, CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, and other potential outcomes, and how we evaluate those risks in our decisions as athletes or parents of athletes. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Julie, people will react to this kind of news in different ways. Some might say, okay, my kid's never going to play this kind of sport. Some might say, whatever. Where do you come down in terms of advice on how we manage contact sports, given what we know and are still learning about the impact of brain injuries?
Well, as we said, we don't know how prevalent this disease is. And we do know that sports have a lot of benefits. Every kid should have the opportunity to play sports, so we shouldn't be getting rid of sports. We can modify them to make these sports safer and eliminate and minimize repetitive brain trauma in sport. For the people in this study of younger athletes, younger individuals who had CTE, those who had CTE had more overall years of play, and that's been consistent across the research. More total impacts over time equals greater risk. So when we start playing young, not only are we potentially disrupting all of the brain development that's happening, but we're also accumulating more hits over time. So we can delay the start of those impacts until we're a bit older. My preference would be high school, but at least until middle school. Then we're minimizing or reducing the overall career impacts we have. And then minimizing as much as possible those impacts when we do get to the high school level, and if you're good enough to go on to the college level. Most people are just going to play through high school, so they'll have 4 years in that case if they delay contact until high school, and then maybe we don't hit at all or hit very, very little in practice. There are many championship teams across the country who don't hit at all, some coached by NFL players as well. And if we do that, we're minimizing our total career impacts, which really decreases the risk for developing CTE.
Let's bring on a caller. Paul is with us in Summit. Paul, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Great show. I was a wrestling coach. I've had 6 concussions myself. I've been in the combative arts for 10 years and no longer in it. And also a public school teacher. And, you know, we want kids to get the benefits of athletic competition and to be able to all the benefits from that. But at what point do we have a serious conversation at the high school and actually the middle school and the elementary level where we're exposing these kids to sports that we know is going to have lasting negative impacts on their health? You know, at what point are we going to, as a society, say enough is enough? I hate to be the one that squelches their fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all the benefits. But thanks for the great show.
Oh, Paul, before you go, I want to ask about your sport of choice over the years, wrestling. I mean, when do you think kids should start? What would ballpark, where would you draw the line?
I have 2 boys. One's in 8th grade, one's in 9th grade. And we let them play. One plays sports. And my wife has said she's in healthcare. She said no contact sports. But Obviously, baseball and basketball still have contact. But I think that at the elementary level, we're having kids play, football at the elementary level. And I think that the brain isn't developed fully. I think that I've seen kids get concussions. I've had kids on my wrestling team get concussions. And so I would say that we're going to have to talk about, the whole sports experience from elementary, middle to high school.
Paul, thanks a lot for that call. Paul gave us a lot to work with, Julie. Jump on whatever you want from what he had to share.
Yeah, I think there was a lot to work with there, as you said. I really agree that delaying that start of contact, and it's not just contact, it's the sports where you're repetitively hitting your head, right? So football gets a lot of attention, but ice hockey, soccer, rugby, wrestling as well. I think there are ways to play these sports without the repetitive brain trauma. Flag football, hockey has eliminated checking before age 13 and before age 15 in some leagues as well. And they've had great success with that. Heading is limited in soccer for young individuals. You can play flag rugby too. So playing versions of these sports where we're not hitting our head repeatedly. We will never prevent every concussion, but we can prevent those repetitive impacts that can lead to this disease, regardless of whether or not you have a concussion. And of course, we also need to treat these concussions appropriately, identify them, manage them, and make sure that we're being extra conservative with kids who, as our caller said, the brain is still developing. So we really want to protect that.
Thanks so much for that call. We're talking to Julie Stamm, clinical assistant professor in the Department of Kinesiology at UW-Madison, author of the book, The Brain on Youth Sports, The Science, the Myths, and the Future. We're talking about the most recent research on repeated brain injuries for young athletes, especially in contact sports, the risk of CTE, and other conditions. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Has this been a story in your life? Have your loved one been in one of these sports and maybe felt some of these consequences or been worried about it? How are you managing these issues for your own family, your own team, if you're a coach maybe at a school or a club? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Julie Stamm, clinical assistant professor in the Department of Kinesiology at UW-Madison, author of the book, The Brain on Youth Sports, The Science, the Myths, and the Future. We're talking about the risks of repeated brain injuries and impacts in younger athletes in particular, recent research on how early we could see the effects of CTE, a degenerative brain disease. Still time for your calls, your thoughts, questions, or maybe your own experiences at 800-642-1234. Have concerns about brain damage impacted choices about what sports to participate in for you or your kids? Or in hindsight, do you wish they had? Are you with some sort of sports organization that is maybe changing the rules, changing age guidelines for certain behaviors, heading, tackling, and more? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Julie, we're focusing mostly on CTE, but you've pointed out in your book and elsewhere, that's not the only potential risk of repeated head impacts. What other concerns are out there?
That's true. With kids, the brain is rapidly developing, and there is research that I've done and my colleagues have done that suggests that we may be disrupting some of those processes while we hit our head repeatedly as kids. So that's one thing that's very important, is we really want to have our kids have the best possible brain development they can have and gain all of the skills and make all of the connections in the brain that they can when they're young. So that's something that we want to protect as well. We also know that some of the symptoms of CTE can also happen even when CTE is not there. So things like depression and other psychiatric disorders, for example, have been increasingly linked recently to repetitive brain trauma and to concussions. And that's separate from the disease. So that's another concern that we have that, even in this study that we've been talking about, almost everyone had symptoms, but not everyone had CTE. on the good side, these symptoms can be treated. So even if you're experiencing depression, for example, and you played high school football, it does not mean you have CTE. Odds are you probably don't. But that's a symptom that can be treated. And it could be linked to the brain trauma. But again, it can be treated. So that's another concern that's growing in the research community regarding brain trauma in sport.
Right. I wanted to bring that up. Treatment, again, we don't know if any particular person has CTE, but is there enough awareness among athletes of and their parents of signs of depression or other behavioral changes where they should maybe sit up and take notice, reach out and see what kind of help is available?
Definitely reach out and seek help, because you know it's very likely that it's not CTE, especially if you've played only through high school. I think we have to be aware that it could be. It's possible that it could be, because the research shows us that it could be. But it seems more likely that that risk is relatively low, especially if you have only played only through high school. We know it's not zero though. But regardless, if you are having these symptoms, do reach out to a healthcare provider. There are treatments for depression and anxiety and apathy and many of these symptoms. And again, it may not be related to CTE. And if it is, we can't treat CTE at this time because we don't know how to even diagnose it. But we can treat these symptoms.
Let's bring on another caller now. Bill is with us in Arcadia. Bill, hi.
Hi. Yes, I just wanted to comment that wrestling has changed some of the rules to protect from concussion.
What kind of changes have you seen, Bill?
Well, there's something called a two-on-one that where if you're grasping the other person standing up, see if I can describe this so you can understand. But if we're both standing up and I'm behind you and I grab your bicep basically and your wrist, and the typical finish to that was to take you to the side where the elbow was controlled so you didn't have that ability to catch yourself.
Ah.
And that is now illegal.
Because I probably hit my head in that instance.
Exactly. Exactly.
Bill, thanks a lot for that call. Now, Julie, I imagine you talk to people in the sports world a lot, and I don't know, I feel like in the old days, whenever that was, there'd be a lot of resistance to rules changes like no checking in hockey or outlawing certain maneuvers in wrestling and things like that. Are you seeing the youth sports world open up to these changes more?
Yes, we definitely are, which is great. Different leagues and different sports have had more or fewer changes that have been made. It's great to hear about that change in wrestling to protect the head. The change with delaying the start of checking has been very successful. Not only have they seen a reduction in concussions, but also in overall injuries in hockey as a result of that rule. There's less research that's gone into soccer so far. Football's been somewhat mixed. So reducing practice time related to contact has been helpful in some cases. It has, in general, decrease the number of concussions and impacts that occur in practice, although games are still the same, but that is still overall reduction since we spend more time in practice, especially. But it is really coach specific as well. And I think that's an important point, take home point for any coaches or parents listening too, that the culture is very, very important. Some studies have shown that even if the amount of time dedicated to contact has been reduced, some coaches just try to fit all of that contact into such a short amount of time that they actually end up hitting more in practice and have more injuries. So it's really taking that health of your athlete, whether that's your child or whether that's your athletes, if you're a coach, really taking that health to heart and prioritizing that and minimizing impacts, using drills and other techniques and practice time to get the skills across without the impacts.
Bill, thanks a lot for sharing that rule change. Julie, I know you've mentioned CTE. It isn't a story just about concussions. It can be what I think are called subconcussive impacts. That said, I feel like I'm seeing a lot more attention to concussions themselves at the highest levels of the sports world. Are we seeing better treatment, better handling when that athlete does, that young athlete does have what appears to be a concussion?
I think we are. I think we've made big strides in the last decade plus. there have been a lot of changes in the last decade. For example, we used to say, lock yourself in a dark room if you have a concussion. And now we know that exercise can actually be helpful. The initial recommendation was based on logic, right? If your symptoms become worse when you exercise your brain or exercise your body, don't do it. But now we know that it's okay if they get a little bit worse, but the exercise is within limits. Limited exercise is helpful for your brain and healing. So that's just one change that we have done that has really improved outcomes. And I think we're doing a better job of recognizing concussions. It's still really difficult. You know, we still see cases in the NFL that go undiagnosed, at least initially. And they have so many medical providers and spotters in the booth. And at a youth football game, you might just have a coach. So it's still difficult. And athletes have to tell us about their symptoms oftentimes. So we still have a long ways to go, but there have been good strides that have been made.
Juliet, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Julie Stamm, clinical assistant professor in the Department of Kinesiology at UW-Madison, author of the book, The Brain on Youth Sports, The Science, The Myths, and The Future. She joins to talk about CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. That's a chronic brain injury, and what recent research says about the risks facing young athletes in contact sports and how to weigh those risks as athletes, as parents, as coaches. Still time for you to share your thoughts on this or share your story or maybe a rule change you've seen in whatever sport you or your youth are involved in. You could do that a couple ways. You could email ideas@wpr.org or you can post over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.